It's a wake-up call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship yesterday, second major title at Southern Hills. What a fun final round that was. Maybe fun for some, not so fun for others. Amito Pereira for one. But for Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris in that three-hole playoff, Alex Myers is from Golf Digest here on a progressive guest line to talk PGA Championships. How are you, Alex?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. All right, for Justin Thomas, give me a feel for this for him. Like, we do this with other sports, so tell me if they do this in golf, where we say, you know, you really need more than one championship. It's everybody can get one, but you really need two. Is that sort of a standard in golf? And if so, how has the last few years when he hasn't won, how has he been viewed in the sport?
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% correct. Even when he won in 2017, his first major, obviously he was, only 24 then, but he'd already won so many times on the PGA Tour that it was kind of like, okay, it's time to win a major. And then you win the one and you kind of get maybe a year or two to kind of, not validate it, but just add to that. And certainly the last 5 years, Justin Thomas will be the first to tell you that his record at majors has been a disappointment. I mean, he's only had one top five at a major since then. For him to get the second one is huge. It's kind of similar to what happened with Dustin Johnson when he finally broke through to win the 2016 U.S. Open. And, of course, 4 years later, he won the 2020 Masters. Once you get that second major, I mean, you just jump ahead of so many other guys. And, of course, Justin Thomas is a little different in the fact that he's racked up 15 PGA Tour titles. He's been winning still at a nice clip. And yes, he won the Players' Championship, which a lot of players almost consider to be a major. But to win that official second major is a huge accomplishment. He's now, already a Hall of Fame player, and he's not even 30 yet.
And the guy he beat in the playoff, Will Zalatoris, he's being talked about as one of the great ball strikers in the game.
Yeah.
Had a runner-up finish at the Masters a couple of years ago. I usually don't feel bad for people, because especially young players, I think there's opportunity. But a loss like that, what do you think does to him? What kind of player is he? How do you think he takes that and goes with it, going, look, I've been close twice now. I've still got a long way to go in my career, but now I'm really starting to understand this.
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, it looks like he's on trajectory to win plenty of times and, to even win some majors. But yeah, you just never know. I mean, you look back at Sergio Garcia, and I mean, he was 19 years old when he almost beat Tiger Woods at the 1999 PGA. And then what happened? It took almost 20 years for him to actually win that first major. So, Will Zalatoris, like you mentioned, the ball striking, I mean, it really is generational. He's number one in strokes gained approach. That's why he always seems to put himself in these great positions, especially at majors when, that the pressure just gets tuned up a little bit and you just have to be so much more precise with your ball striking. So, no, I mean, he certainly has a tremendous career ahead of him, but you always like to take advantage when you do get those chances because, point out another guy, I mean, Rory McIlroy, I mean, he racks up four major wins by the time he's, 25, and now 8 years later, he doesn't have any more. So you just, every time you get one of those chances, even though you're young, you still kind of need to take advantage of it. But he's got a great attitude, and, he bounced back from the close call at Torrey Pines earlier this year. It's kind of amazing that he's almost won his first PGA Tour event at a major, but it just doesn't seem like those events really faze him, which is a good, obviously, trait to have going forward.
Once again, we had a guy on the 18th tee who had the lead in the major, and then he doesn't even participate in the playoff, as Mito Pereira has a double bogey. When we saw this with Phil Mickelson years ago at Wingfoot and even John Vandeveld at Carnoustie,
Right. Why
doesn't the caddy just take the driver and snap it over his knee and go, take whatever you want, but you're not hitting this one? What is it about these guys that make them still take out these big sticks and puts them in trouble?
Yeah, I was really stunned by that because the 18th hole at Southern Hills is a beast, no doubt about it. It's the toughest hole on the course. It's over 500 yards, par four. But we saw guys yesterday, I mean, you use that slope, you hit it down there, especially if you hit any sort of a low shot and chase it down there. I mean, Justin Thomas hit 9-iron into the green in that playoff. He hit 8-iron in regulation. So if you were able to just get it down that slope, it wasn't even playing that long. So having a one-shot lead, you would think he would have hit something less than driver. Now, that being said, if it gets into a player's head that he really wants to hit the driver, I guess the caddy then doesn't want to, you know, make the player second-guess himself. But you're right. I mean, certainly looking back at it, I think maybe Scott McGinnis, Mito Pereira's caddy, who, by the way, was Scotty Scheffler's caddy before he moved on to Ted Scott. You know, I think he probably would maybe go back, obviously, and change that. I was still shocked that he hit it. You know, this is a guy who, just think about this, on Saturday, he was the only player to lay up on the 17th hole, that short par four, during Saturday's third round. The only player in the field. So he had shown some discipline, maybe even too much discipline, with that shot. And then on 18, the last hole of a major, a life-changing win right at your fingertips, for him to pull driver, I'm still shocked by what happened. It's unfortunate. You hate to see someone lose that way, especially, like you said, to miss the playoff altogether even. I mean, making a bogey on final hole to major is one thing, but a double to miss a playoff by one is just, it's brutal.
That course, how did it, we all saw Saturday and the wind and how tough it was, but the 4-day aggregate, if you will, overall, how did Southern Hills play? Did it live up to the history of that course in hosting major championships?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited coming in. I'm kind of a U.S. Open fan, and you know, Southern Hills, of course, has hosted U.S. Opens, and we've seen the PGA Championship go to some of these storied U.S. Open venues in recent years, and you know, that, of course, it had hosted in 2007 as well, and I think Tiger's score was 8-under that year. So I was kind of looking forward to a score that would be, you know, not double digits under par, to really challenge these guys, not just with the lengths, but with the greens, and even we saw the bunkers come into play. I mean, the different type of sand, where it wasn't just an automatic up and down like it is at most tour events. I mean, these guys really had to kind of think more in the bunkers about how the ball might release onto the green. They weren't getting as much spin. So I do like how it played. I maybe wish that the all four par threes weren't quite so brutish, although they did move up the tee on, I think, 14 it was yesterday. It wasn't, you know, a 220-plus par three, but it did seem like those kind of were all one note. But no, I like how it played, and certainly it made guys think. And it, you know, Justin Thomas was one of my picks coming in this week, just because we see that he loves to shape shots, and it is a course that really demands shot shaping, not only with the dog legs, but with some of the fairway sloped in the opposite way that the dog legs go. And Justin Thomas, we've seen it time and time again, he's a guy who does like to really shape shots both ways, and it certainly paid off for him.
You brought up the par threes, and I want to get your thoughts, as you're a lot more embedded in the sport with me than me. I observe these things and go, wow, they should do that more, and then I find out later that they do that more, so I get a little embarrassed. But I loved the 17th hole. I thought it was drama. I thought it was exciting.
Yeah.
Why don't we see more drivable par fours? Like, instead of making a hole 660 yards, make it 310 with some bunkers, and let's have some fun.
I mean, I think 99% of golf fans agree with you, and I agree with that as well. And, you know, the drivable par four always ends up being the most talked about hole of a week. And you know, there's certain events that have them. Obviously, Riviera, the 10th hole, the 17th, the TPC Scottsdale for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, even the Travelers Championship up here, I think it's the 15th hole. Those are the coolest holes on the course. Those are the holes that everybody wants to see. And you're right. Like, you should see them more. And, you know, at any major, you could, in theory, move the tee way up enough to create one of these. So I applaud the PGA of America for doing that, especially on Sunday, and especially at the penultimate hole of the tournament. And I like that they did it on Saturday as well. So I think it was really cool way. You know, certainly it seemed like, okay, guys should make birdie here, but it almost puts more pressure on you because you have to make birdie then. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing that people are going to forget about Mito Pereira. He hit a good shot on 17, hit a chip that just caught a little too much, and then he had, what, like a 10-footer that he left, I mean, a fraction of an inch short in the heart of the hole. He makes birdie there. He's the winner. he could coast down. He would definitely take iron off the tee on 18, play for the bogey, wins. I think people are going to forget about the fact that he didn't make birdie on that easy, fun, drivable par four.
All right, let's talk about Tiger real quick. I don't know how open he was about his injury. He seemed to talk about it, but he did look like he was in pain. I thought that after Thursday's round, if he was in that much pain, he should withdraw. Then I kind of forgot, you know, if he makes the cut, he's really proven yet another point. He did make the putt and then did withdraw. But I'm a little worried about June and the country club. How open was he about his injury, and what is he going to do from now until June?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was open about saying that it hurt, but he's always very close to the vest with everything else. You know, I'm surprised because, you know, we saw him get through the four rounds at Augusta, and certainly it was a struggle on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I can recall him trying to climb that ninth hole, which is very steep at Augusta, and it looked like he wasn't even going to be able to get up that hill. So that was tough. But then the fact that he said he only took the Monday after the Masters off and that he'd been working every day since led me to believe that he was feeling pretty good physically. And so the fact that by even the end of that first round, we could see him really struggling when in those practice rounds didn't seem to be the case, that certainly is a bad sign. And there's not as much of a turnaround now between now and the U.S. Open. I think it's only 25 days. There was 39 days before this one. That's going to be interesting to see if he plays, because we know how much he wants to play at St. Andrews, which is certainly going to be the flatter walk and all the great course history he has there in July. So, you know, he definitely wants to play that. You know, it's now possible that maybe he does hold himself out of the U.S. Open just to make sure he gives himself the best shot at the British Open. But, yeah, it was tough to see. I agree, though, he definitely wanted to prove something by making the cut. And, look, he did prove something by making the cut. It's pretty amazing to make the cut at both of those majors, considering what he's done through. You look at a lot of the big names who didn't make the cut at one of those or even both of those events. So a weird week, though, for him, and certainly there's definitely, unfortunately, more question marks going forward.
Alex Myers again, Golf Digest on the PGA Championship, won by Justin Thomas on our Progressive Guest Line. Thank you so much, Alex. Great insight into the tournament. Thank you so very much.
You got it. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Really appreciate it. Love it. That was good stuff. And again, I agree with him. I hope we have more drivable par fours in major championships. And like he said, kudos to the PGA for doing it. That was an exciting hole. And I don't think everything needs to be about length on this thing. I get it. The ball goes much further. The equipment is much further. Yeah, it's funny when you look at like old videos, like when I watch videos of like Nicholas winning at Baltusrol in 80 or something or whatever, like an old Masters clip from the 80s and even the early 90s. I look at the drivers and I go, God, it's like the size of my fist. And now the driver heads are the size of like your head. Like they're gigantic and the ball goes much further. But there is something about having a hole like where a player is on the tee, like, well, I could get it there. I know I could get it there, but do I risk the back bunker? Do I risk the side slope? Do I want to lay up and hit a nice pitch shot into the screen? Does the pin placement allow me to hit with enough real estate so I can get it to check up? Like there's a whole bunch of ways you can take it just 310 yards and turn it in to something really exciting and really challenging and really strategic. You don't have to take a par four and make it 530 yards. That's insane. Like that, like length isn't always the best answer to challenge the best golfers in the world. And I think the 17th hole did that. I think this, like, here's, in the end result is this. In tournament golf, it doesn't matter what the final score is. It's a matter how everybody's competing against each other. Does anybody know what the final score was, by the way, what got into the playoff? Does anybody remember? No, right? It's 5 under. It could have been 10 under. It could have been 9 under. It could have been 3 over. Nobody would have cared. But if you set up a short par four that's drivable and you go at it, guys, make eagles, make birdies, make bogeys, whatever, in the competitiveness of this, here's your challenge. I welcomed it. I loved it. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour, and get you set for Sports Map Radio as we continue.